And if you
Oh,
guys
sorry.
want to put a calendar for me, I can't do it because I'm on my phone.
Yeah. So why
You
don't
read
we
all.
start with introductions first?
Introduction. Hi, Elaine Flores, co-chair membership.
Zachary Davenport, council member, committee member.
Pedro Felix, council member, committee member.
Right, Kira, council staff.
Pat, council staff.
Mark, council staff.
Well, welcome, y'all. And I guess the next on the agenda would be approving of the minutes.
Of the agenda. Can you see that?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. So we have a couple of things to go over today. Our
Okay.
normal approving the agenda and minutes, and then we'll move on to reviewing the renewals that we have.
Okay. So sorry, I gotta put in my thing. My brother has been ill, so I been really occupied on bringing him back to health. Actually, pretty much could have lost weight in the last couple of weeks, but he's doing much better.
Oh wow, sorry, Elaine.
It's okay. Thank you, though. He's doing good.
All right, and then we have our demographic information update and some council recruitment discussion, and that'll take us to the end of the meeting.
Okay, any changes to the agenda besides that? We'll go ahead and approve of today's agenda. Any opposed? Cues? Okay, agenda is approved. Hearing nothing. And then we could go on to the minutes. Okay, any changes to the minutes?
Quick favor, can you just scroll up one? I wasn't at this meeting and just something caught my eye. I just want to read it for a moment. Just give me one moment.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. All right, thanks.
Okay. So without any changes, we go ahead and approve the last month's minutes. Approve. Cues. Hearing nothing. We'll go ahead and approve the minutes. All right. And what's next? Because I don't have the agenda. Any announcements? Anything? No announcements? Hearing none. Okay, what's next on the agenda, you guys? I don't have the agenda in front of me.
The public comment, but we actually don't have public
No
today.
public. Okay.
So I think we can move on to really the meat of this meeting,
All right.
which is membership renewal applications. So I'll go ahead and screen share those. We have 12 today to review, and so we'll go through those. So just give me a sec.
And you all can vote unless a particular application sticks out as one that you find to be problematic. You can vote on all of them as a slate at the after the end of Kira's review, if that makes sense. Yeah? Okay.
All right, so I'll go ahead and get started. Can everyone see this?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I'll go ahead and get started with Ed's renewal application. And so, what is your primary reason for seeking renewal on the council? And he wrote to continue advocating for HIV programs and services for seniors and other marginalized communities in San Francisco. Then he said, Then the question was, did your service on the council turn out to be what you expected? And he actually put yes. The next few years are going to be critical with turmoil in Congress and budget shortfalls in the state and SF budgets. The council must continue to advocate for the needs of those living with HIV in San Francisco. There have been small gains in housing and budget shortfalls have been backfilled by the city and county of San Francisco. These actions are a direct result of the council and its allies meeting with city leaders advocating for the continued support and needs of those living with HIV in SF. For these and other accomplishments, I'm glad to be part of this council. As for what committees he served on and what he learned or how he benefited from them, he was the chair of the membership of this committee, which I'm assuming he means membership, right? Yeah. And previously, I think last year. This is an important committee because it screens applicants applying to the council, works on flyers for community outreach, and formulates ideas for attracting new members. The committee is also responsible for trying to meet the membership requirements of HRSA and other funding requirements. He learned much from this committee. One, it's not an easy job, and it can be frustrating when membership is falling and candidates are few. There's a feeling in some circles that the council does not do enough and is not visible enough in the community. Other groups that are seen as more active and are attracting individuals who in the past would have been applying for membership in the council. Time is important to everyone. Maybe it is time to reevaluate the time commitment required of individuals and do a better PR job getting out the accomplishments and concerns of the council. A lot of feedback. He is now a new member of the Community Engagement Committee and beginning to learn the ropes of that committee. As far as what he has contributed to the council and committees, he hopes he has given insight into the needs of seniors and long-term survivors living with HIV. He also continues to help HIV positive individuals who are new to the Kaiser system established care and is available to any council member who needs assistance in dealing with a difficult client. He also has a long institutional memory of what it was like living through the dark days of HIV and has been HIV positive for 34 years. Asked for if he would be interested in serving in a leadership role on the council, he said yes, that in the future he would be interested in chairing a committee. So that's one. Now I'll go ahead and move on to the next one.
Kira, do you want us to trade, us meaning me and Kat, to trade off on you? Because you have 11 more of these things to go. That's a lot
Oh,
of on
sure, that's a
you.
lot. Yeah.
Okay, I'll get to the next one, and then Kat, if you don't mind doing the one after that. All right, so this is Chuck Adams. Service was as expected. He finds being on the council exciting. The level of expertise in the council allows the council to move forward with the goals of preserving services and involve and expand prevention in all areas. He was on the Council Affairs Committee, setting the agenda for the full year and seeing how that leads to council yearly goals being achieved. There's great discussions on all areas of care and prevention during meetings, leading to a sense of accomplishment. As far as what he's contributed to the council, I'm assuming that he didn't mean angel, but he is an angel, isn't he? I bring the age of someone 50 plus, consumer of services, and being a 40 plus year long-term survivor. Bringing in the community voice as a starting point in all the discussions is where he contributes. Chuck is not interested in the leadership role, not currently, at least. He would become the chair of the Council of Affairs again if asked, but he's not interested in being a co-chair on the main council unless there are no other HIV positive individuals that want to do it. And there you have it.
All right, and this is Lee Jules.
Perfect. So we have Lee's. So primary reason for seeking renewal on the council to continue ensuring the protection of the SF HIV system of care and continue advocating for Ryan White funding through my role as the PWHA caucus rep on the Care Coalition Board of Directors. For service on the council turning out to be what he expected, he said yes. My role as a member continues to be satisfying. He especially appreciates the opportunity to advocate for HIV funding at the national level. This position has given him the SFHCPC membership. Kira, would you mind scrolling down a little bit? Perfect. Lee was on the Community Engagement Committee and appreciated the opportunity to provide input on matters before the committee. In terms of what he's contributed to the council and committee work groups, his expertise and input after serving on the council for the past 16 years, And as far as being interested in serving in a leadership role in the council, Lee said no, not at this time. He was previously a co-chair. It is a valuable opportunity for any member who has not been in a leadership position before.
All right. Now on to Helen Lins. Her primary reason for seeking renewal on the council is because,
Can you say the name of the person we just went over? I'm sorry, my computer.
Oh, that was Lee Jewell.
Lee Jewell, okay. Thank you.
So Helen wrote, "Caring for the social and medical needs of the communities impacted by HIV has been my life's work, and I am grateful for the stability my job in the health system has given me. Participating in the council is a structured way for me to stay informed about the issues facing the system of care and a way for me to give back as a volunteer." Her service on the council did turn out to be what she expected. My mentors, who were former members, Mary Lawrence Hicks and Richard Barghetto, prepared my expectations comprehensively. Also, I attended meetings for a few months prior to becoming a member, so I felt I had been prepared for this. For what committees she served on and what she learned and benefited from those committees, she wrote, "I have attended primarily the membership and community engagement committees. Both work groups served to inform me about the special needs groups and the residents' socioeconomic characteristics of the people impacted by HIV in our EMA. For what she thinks she has contributed to the council and committees, I bring a perspective as a frontline social worker slash case manager, as well as a person who refers HIV consumers into care and services. And I make contact with hundreds of consumers through this work at Ward 86. I also bring a perspective as an administrator in a busy public health clinic. And lastly, I am also a longtime San Francisco resident." She would not be interested in serving in the leadership role. She explains, "During 2022, 2023, I have been struggling to attend meetings regularly for both personal and clinic slash work reasons. Post-pandemic, our clinic is chronically understaffed. Then in late 2023, I had a major health event and I'm really just getting back on my feet. If I can remain on the council in a standard capacity, I'd love to consider leadership in the future." All right. And this is Irma's renewal application.
All right. Irma's primary reason for seeking renewal is to continue serving the HIV community. She is passionate about and looking forward to creating a positive impact. She believes that her work experience and previous service in the council makes her well suited to be a member. Her service on the council did turn out to be as expected. As she says, serving the council has been fulfilling and extremely rewarding. It has allowed her to advocate for the needs of the HIV community. In addition, it has provided her with growth, leadership development, and work in collaboration with diverse stakeholders. As far as committee and work groups, she has felt that serving in the Council Affairs Committee has allowed her to have learning and growth that has exposed her to new ideas and experiences by broadening her knowledge and skills. Also, skill development by collaborating with other members of the committee. She has learned how to work with others and communicate effectively when presenting her ideas. It's also provided networking opportunities with robust and diverse committee members. Excuse me. As far as what Irma feels she has contributed to the council, she has actively participated in committee meetings, discussions, and decision-making processes. She has contributed with ideas and expertise to assist in fulfilling co the committee's goals. She feels she has committed contributed leadership by representing the council leadership in the committee, and she feels she has been collaborating and also has collaborating and teamwork with members of the committee by building positive relationship and fostering a supportive and inclusive environment. She is interested in continuing, I guess, to serve as a leadership in a leadership role in the council. She is presently holding a co-chair role in the council and finds her role incredibly rewarding due to the opportunity to drive positive and meaningful impact in the work the council does to serve members of the HIV community.
And then Zachary, our very own Zachary.
Sorry, y'all, I thought I clicked on mute. Okay, so Zachary said the primary reason for seeking renewal on the council is I want to continue to serve on the council in support of HIV care and prevention services throughout the San Francisco EMA. Zachary did say that the council turned out to be what they expected. Been serving on the council since 2017. Since that time, I have come to learn more about what its main purpose is and how it functions. Zachary's served on the co-chair facilitating steering and full council meetings, learning how to facilitate meetings smoothly, manage time, etc. As far as membership goes, reviewing applications, interviewing prospective council members, brainstorming about ways to increase and diversify membership. Zachary believes they've contributed to the council and committee work groups. I think I have brought my own lived experience as a queer person, a long-term consumer of HIV prevention services, a person in recovery, an activist, a community organizer, and an active member of the San Francisco community for almost 2 decades. In my professional role, I bring my experience working with people living with HIV as a behavioral health clinician in a sexual health clinic and community mental health clinic in San Francisco. As a council co-chair, I think I have brought good facilitation skills to help meetings run smoothly. As a member of the membership committee, I have participated in interviewing prospective council members along with other members of the committee, providing applicants with a friendly and welcoming experience and answering questions they have about the council. Zachary would be interested in serving in a leadership role on the council, and Nazir currently serving as council co-chair.
All right, and this is going to be John Paul Soto's. And so the primary reason for seeking renewal on the council, he wrote, I know I have been a member of this council for a long time now, but I do believe that I can continue to provide a strong voice for the special needs population of people my program support, very low income, active substance use and mental health, and previous incarceration, and the greater community of recipients of services in the city, both on the care and prevention side. I'm also a very active member of CPG, serving as a community co-chair for the next 2 years. I feel it very advantageous to bring our area experience to the state's table and vice versa. I'm also aware that our overall council size has decreased over the last few years. I made a commitment as a member of the membership committee to continue to strategize outreach activities to grow our council with more representation from affected communities where our membership numbers run low. As for, did your service on the council turn out to be what you expected? They wrote yes. Yes, I have been here long enough to know what to expect and how our work ebbs and flows each year. I appreciate our strong and supported relationship with HHS and other DPH staff, and I appreciate everything council support, co-chairs, and other council leadership does to ensure this strong and supported relationship continues. I also love the fact that our monthly council meeting is back to monthly in person, while appreciating the current flexibility for monthly committee meetings. For what committee and work groups they served on and what they learned and benefited from those committees. I have continued on the membership committee for the last year. I appreciate the thoughtfulness that goes into the review of each potential member application and the in-person interviews to address each person's interests, qualifications, and overall commitment. I feel I have been able to contribute in being an active part of each of those reviews and applications, and as well as contributing to conversations and strategies on future recruitments to grow our council and meet our goals of overall representation. For what they have contributed to the council and committee/work groups, I feel I've been able to bring forward the experience and needs of a special population of persons my programs work with. I've also been able to share what I learned and what is decided on the larger state level. I've checked in on a number of our members over the course of my time here, and I am open to be a potential mentor should that opportunity arise, and I am matched with any new member in need of extra support. I'm an active member of HAPN and have taken opportunity to share our work between the groups from time to time during my participation on both planning bodies. JP said he would not be interested in serving the leadership role on the council, not at this time, as my current commitment to CPG has increased with my new position as community co-chair for the next 2 years. Having said that, I have served as community co-chair and council co-chair in the past and would be happy to support anyone new to those positions in any way I can. All right, that was JP. So now moving on to Matt Keltmaker.
All right, Matt is a clinical services manager for public health and the AIDS director in San Mateo County. He wants to continue to provide perspectives of a smaller suburban/rural county to the council. He has also worked in HIV services since the mid-1980s and brings an historical perspective to the council. Service has turned out as expected. He always enjoys hearing the different viewpoints that each council member and members of the public bring to the meetings. The presentations are helpful in gaining a better understanding of the issues facing different communities. He has previously been on the what was once known as the GPA committee, now known as the Council Affairs Committee, having served 2 terms as co-chair. He was also on the membership committee for a couple of years. He prefers being on Council Affairs since it is more aligned with his role in San Mateo. He feels he has continued to bring a commitment to the communities impacted by HIV in San Mateo County, which are different than those in San Francisco and Marin. Also brings a desire to learn from the different perspectives that their colleagues on the council bring. Not interested in serving a leadership role on the council, he'll be retiring from his position in San Mateo in March 2025, and so is focusing on closing out his role there in the next 9 months.
All right, and then we have Gwen Smith.
All right, so Gwen's primary reason for seeking renewal on the council is to continue support for the Bayview Hunters Point community and African Americans. Her service on the council did turn out to be what she expected, noting 20 plus years on the Prevention the Care Council. The communities and work groups that Gwen was a part of, she was part of the membership committee and feels she has benefited seeing the council member, filling the council member gaps. Gwen has contributed 20 plus years of experience to the council and her committees. She would not be interested in serving in a leadership role on the council, noting not at this time, maybe in the future.
All right. And then I'll go over Ron's. So his primary reason for seeking renewal is to continue my volunteerism commitment with a community planning body. The service did turn out to be what was expected. I have been with the council for 12 years. Yes, it's turning out as expected. He currently is co-chairing the membership committee where he's learning how to conduct, and I'm guessing strengthen leadership skills. And he has contributed in his good attendance record, which helps establish quorum requirements in the committees. Ron says he would not be interested in serving in a leadership role on the council as he is currently serving as a committee co-chair. All right. Now we have Manuel.
That is a leadership role. Gosh. Sorry. Editorializing. All right. This is Manuel Vasquez. His primary reason for seeking renewal is to keep the council informed of MoCD and public housing matters affecting people living with HIV/AIDS, and also to support others in their effort to ensure that PLWHA are heard, supported, and cared for. Service has turned out to be as expected. In fact, all of his expectations of being a council member have been met. They've been able to participate in discussions, observe presentations affecting PLWHA, voted on measures, and supported others. Manuel currently serves as council co-chair to the Council Affairs Committee. This has provided an opportunity for him to lead and facilitate necessary discussions that guide the council and its efforts. He believes he has contributed consistent leadership and drive regarding HIV housing, but also the general work of the council to ensure information is available and that the council is accountable to the public. Manuel is interested in serving in a leadership role and, in fact, would be happy to serve as a council co-chair again, facilitate meetings, etc.
All right, and our last one is Na Lee.
All right, so Na's primary reason for seeking renewal on the council is I want to stay informed regarding services in HIV care and prevention, and the presentations at council meetings are helpful in role as program manager. In addition, I will continue to be the liaison between Marin County Public Health and the SF Planning Council and provide updates as necessary. The service on the council did turn out to be what she expected, noting, thanks to my participation on the council, I am more informed about both HIV and ending the epidemic strategic plan. Na was involved in the Council Affairs Committee and appreciates the opportunity to preview presentations before the full council meetings. She believes she has contributed to keeping the council informed regarding Marin County's HIV care and prevention services. She is currently serving as the Council Affairs Co-Chair and actively participating in conversations with the committee. Na would not be interested in serving in a leadership role on the council, noting that she does not currently have the time to take on a leadership role on the council beyond serving as co-chair of council affairs.
All right, so I'll stop sharing my screen.
Okay.
And those were all of the applications that we received.
And once again, you guys, I'm so sorry for not turning in mine ahead of time due to some health issues with the bro, but I do plan on to bring fill in that, and would be happy to continue serving with you guys as well. but I'll have it in. All right. Any questions with anybody that's renewing? Anyone?
Is that, are you asking if just anyone here has questions on? I'm sorry, what is the
If you
question?
have any questions, any concerns about any of the members that are replying again for the renewals?
Oh, okay. I guess more of a process question. Thank you, Elaine.
Sure.
What is that? If there's no questions, what's the following step?
To someone will need to make a motion and someone will need to second, renewing them as a slate.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Mark. I guess I just had a question. No, I have a few. In terms of how many current open seats do we have if we're not considering renewals, the renewal seats?
We do not necessarily have open seats in a way, so it's complex. When we first merged, we didn't want to have anyone left off of either council, and so we established a top limit rather, and we established a ceiling but not a floor. So we can literally have as few council members as we want, which is not a great way of looking at it, but we can. Certainly, other EMAs and TGAs have very tiny councils. We are not one of them. We have an above average size. We can go up to, shoot, was it 50 or 40?
I guess 40, isn't
40. Yeah. We can go up to 40. That makes, I think it might be 50. I'm not sure. I'd have to check the bylaws.
I don't know why I was thinking 55.
I don't think it's over 50, but it might be 40. I mean, I feel like I could just check that really easily, but it's either 40 or 50, and we're not close to either of those numbers for sure.
Know where we are?
We're
Hereabouts.
currently at 28.
We're at 28. Okay.
So we're doing pretty well. I think on average we've had, I think in the years before and after the merge, we've had between 25 to 35 council members. So as far as overall numbers, without being having too few to make it like just a little, I guess, awkward to have only a handful of people decide sort of major things. And we don't have so many that it's unwieldy, which it can be. A lot of council members on one council can also mean that a lot of those voices go potentially unheard. And so I think we're numerically we're kind of where we're at, but where we're not at is trying to mirror the demographic successfully. So we definitely need more Black slash African American council members. That's just a basic fact. We've also had a challenge, a perpetual challenge, in having youth representation. So prior to the merge, actually, the Prevention Council and the Care Council each had youth representatives. When the merge happened, actually, that was around the time that our youth representative aged out of being youth anymore, Matthew. And then the Prevention's youth representative didn't rejoin the council post-merge. So that's a perpetual challenge for sure. And then another perpetual challenge, although we've had this community on the council before, have been Native American slash Indigenous. That's another challenge. We certainly have not had challenges in general with having people identify as women and or as from trans experience on the council. We usually have a certain number, and we never really have challenges in mirroring the demographic, the epidemic when it comes to age. The numbers are really around seniors now overall, and we do have folks of a certain age on the council. So that part has been good. But where we're also lacking are positive members. We're under our 33%. That is suggested, strongly suggested by HRSA. You know, that's something that we should be looking at. I'd recommend as council support that we in particular focus on Black slash African American council members and HIV positive consumers of services without conflicts of interest, if that makes sense. Those are our biggest needs right now. At the same time, I don't want to take away the fact that like we could also use more indigenous folks as well as youth. the priority on the first two is because of numbers. Like there is a sizable number of Black slash African American PLWH, and there is a HRSA. It's not really a mandate, but it's definitely strongly suggested around the 33%. That's why I'm highlighting those two. But I definitely don't want to ignore the other, maybe lesser priority, but still priorities around Indigenous and youth, if that makes sense. And then there's another thing we can consider, and this is what allows us to, even though we have those priorities, to continue bringing on government and or service providers, is because HRSA does also include a whole list of different potential seats. We're hitting most of them, but there's certainly some that we don't have. We've been looking for representation on a state level for I'm forgetting the actual one. Is it part? It's not Part B because that's Chris Kent. We're looking for another sort of state representative. There's actually a group that I'm involved with that is multiple directors of different council support programs. We've been begging the state for this particular person to come in with experience around this particular funding stream, and they literally ignore us. So there's also multiple, but not that many, government slash service provision seats as well. But for me at least, and I don't think this is like coming from a personal level, I do think it's coming from what HRSA would like too. My focus is not so much on those, although great for sure, but more on unaligned PLWH and Black slash African American.
Thank you,
Mark. Like we have a lot of expertise. So us, I don't still think we should prioritize expertise over community. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, community embodies expertise, and I think that's what you're trying to get at.
Oh, thanks for the correction. I appreciate it, Raina.
But yeah, so thank you so much for breaking that down. Again, you are just an immense amount of wealth. I really appreciate it. And so I asked those questions, one, just to kind of get, I promise I wrote them down this time, to kind of get a better understanding of where we're at, but then also like the, I just have a short comment around, we hear a lot about like community engagement and supporting people living with HIV, et cetera. But yet, we have people who are, applying for renewal and who are applying just in general outside of this process today. And so my question is more like, what outside of being present here or on a seat are we doing, we including myself, to engage, to uplift, to support and collaborate with the community in ways that are meaningful outside of representation, right? Because existence alone is not resistance. And as you said, right, like we need community members involved, empowered, mobilized, informed, and be like participating in this process, right? And so I'm thinking a lot about our mentorship program, right? Like, where is that, right? The people living with HIV group, which is not very active. And so just thinking about really trying to ensure that folks is, like, we here know whether or not folks' words or statements align with their actions on the council outside of whatever work that they're doing with other entities or bodies. And so, I say that not just for this group or for the people applying, but always as a reminder to myself, like, what are you doing today, Reyna, that is not solely benefiting you, to gain social capital, to gain connections, to gain like whatever it is. And so, it's the community engagement and mobilization is not an end point, right? It's a process that unfortunately is never going to end, because I don't believe we're getting out of this alive. But I'm sorry, my cats are like wrestling behind me. So yeah, and again, I want to thank everyone who is here, who is applying, or who is renewing, and also for like supporting me in whatever capacity y'all have been. But yeah, it's like, what are we doing? Because a community is really only as strong as it is cohesive and informed, and like as much as there is participatory, like democratic, like actions. And that right now in San Francisco, outside of HIV, but even so in HIV, does not currently exist. As you kind of point alluded to, Mark, we see a lot of people who are affiliated, right? A lot of people who can come here and get paid for it, right? And that is not what this council was created for. That is not what people died for. And that is not, equity, and that's not That's not my goal. I know that that's a lot of people's goal, like really to make this a very democratic participatory process. And so I very much look forward to seeing what folks have and what I can do to support as well. So that's all. Bye. No. I'm done. Watch, I
Well,
get bugged out. No, kidding.
thank you for that comment. Yeah, it's well spoken, and I think we do need still need to see a lot more consumers on the council as well. And we're doing our best to try to work that out. We just need to get put our heads together as a team and kind of figure out what strongly is needed for that. And I think we can do it. And we can get it. We just got to put our head together. You guys are more out there in San Francisco than I am, but I've been reaching out a little bit more in the San Francisco area to try to help that situation out and getting more involved in your guys' neck of the woods. Because being as a member for you guys as well, I should be getting myself a little bit more connected with San Francisco as much as I am here with Marin. So I bring a lot to the table to present that what we have conquered here in hopes that we can help out San Francisco as well and getting those new members, especially what we need demographically and more consumers. So that would be great. We'll work on it. We will all work on it together. Okay. All right. Any more questions going forward with the
I have
renewal?
a before
Go ahead.
you go
Go ahead, Mark.
to before you go to the vote, I do have, it's not a response to Raina, it's actually more on the same topic. I think one of the things you can consider if you all do strongly believe that we really have to be community first when it comes to the council. This is certainly not to undermine or diminish the efforts of service providers and government appointees. You know, I think their work is absolutely important and powerful and is important for the work of the group. So I'm certainly not trying to diminish anyone here at all, but I would say that this group, not this group particular iteration, has made certain decisions in the past to make sure that it remained community centered. I know that when I was a council member and co-chair of this group, one of the decisions we decided to do, for example, was to freeze all applicants coming in who were not actually coming from the communities or demographics that we actually were under. And so we literally froze the applications of any service provider or someone coming from government, even if it meant we're not going to fill a particular HRSA suggested seat because we were waiting at that point in time. I think we were waiting for multiple communities of color or hope or like outreaching to them. So that's something that you all could also consider doing. You don't, you know, I'm not saying that there are people who would apply who you want to reject necessarily, but you are able, you do have the power to manage that process. Just want to throw that out there that that's certainly within your purview. And that could also be one way of showing that you, not even showing, creating a process that really focuses on the particular areas that you want the improvement on. Does that make sense? Again, I'm just saying what's happened in the past. I'm not certainly suggesting that you all do different things, but it's something that you can do.
Yeah. And when we did actually did merge, we kind of saw a lot more different kinds of group of people coming in, and it would be wonderful to get back to having the people that we didn't really, go out and get, which is pretty much the community. And it would be great to have at least 50-50 part of that in our in San Francisco Council, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. I want to get us to at least 33%, though. Let's get
Right?
at least to that.
So, and that's why I said, in good things, if we talk more in membership about what our goals are and go after it and keep doing it, I think we can get what our goals are after. So we just got to
Yeah.
put our heads a little bit more strongly together and try to come up with those creative ideas and how to get that back into the council, those group of people.
And we've been there before. You know, I don't know if you recall, I don't know if anyone you were here besides me, but when we were in the Bayanihan Center, like we had overrepresented numbers of Black slash African American, which is where we want to be overrepresenting, not under. So
yeah, I wasn't a member yet, but
We've had well over 33% online consumers as well. We've been there in the past. So I think things do fluctuate for sure. And I think I agree with you, Elaine. We can eventually get back there.
Yeah, we can.
Just have to be deliberate sometimes.
Yeah. And I gotta slap a couple of people around and we'll do that. Just kidding. Don't line that with me. But yeah, we can.
I don't know if you see them, but it looks like Helen and then Raina have their hands up.
Okay, go. My screen cams are showing, so just shout it out to me.
Yeah, hi, it's Helen. So listen, I think in our last meeting there was a question when we were on this topic of recruitment and specifically recruiting consumers. I think someone asked Mark if there was a stipend ever available to.
Yeah, I can speak to that. Very unfortunate. We are not allowed to have stipends. It's something that I asked specifically about during the merge because the Prevention Council was able to support its consumers of services on the council with, I don't know whether it was monthly or annual, which was great. And so the assumption was that would continue when the merge happened. And so I talked specifically to our program officer about, can we do this, et cetera? And he was very clear, no. There's no remuneration of any there's no stipends for council members, period. It's unfortunate, but that's literally what we're told by HRSA.
Okay.
In the conversations I've had with a couple of patients in our advisory council, and then two other patients that I spoke to, I had the chance to speak to who happen to be who are consumers, who are part of, who are Black African-American folks living with HIV, the four of them I spoke to all asked, is there some kind of stipend available? I live on a fixed income, and whenever I'm about to consider volunteer opportunities, I always ask because I'm in need. So thank you for doing that research, Mark. I just need that to be really clear.
It's a shame, but that is our regulations around that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Raina had still had their hand.
Yeah, thank you for that. And just before I go into mine, I went through the mandate and you're very clear, every single line, Mark. I love it. don't leave. but we are able to utilize or reimburse folks for various things, whether that is lost wages, daycare, transportation, etc. There just needs to be a process, and it cannot go above the 10% allocation for administrative fees. That is all kind of in one chunk, right?
Absolutely. And there have been folks who have submitted some receipts for things like coming down from San Mateo or coming up from San Mateo. So that is definitely possible. We can continue to do that. There's actually, part of our contract is set aside for that. A very small part, because we haven't had much over I think a couple hundred dollars or so total ever in a year. But it can certainly happen.
And so with that being said, thank you, Mark. With that being said, given that the new year, the new fiscal year and allocations is coming up, that is a place that we would then be able to budget in more in terms of
Okay, I'll be real transparent here. That's going to be a challenge because it's something that I do plan on talking with prevention about, Thomas Noble. The council support contract actually took a hit recently. We did not we lost our prevention funding. It wasn't much, but it was 12 like it was $1,000 a month that was sort of a buffer. It would certainly allow us to do different things. So we're kind of on a tight budget now. So any additional kind of expenditures, I'd love council leadership or members to certainly be allies on this. Like any kind of additional things, I would literally need to talk to Thomas or Bill about we need some more money if we're going to actually be able to do these kinds of things. Because right now it's tight. It's tight.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I definitely think I saw kind of not on the prevention side, but just the cuts all around. And I totally hear you that I did not want to minimize that in any way. I do know that there are also a lot of folks that have been in various meetings, including this one, or people that are here, who have made comments around like cutting certain things that we may not necessarily need, right? Whether that's like meals, and not saying like the whole meal, but like maybe they don't have to be as nice, right? Like, but it's good food, and I absolutely want our community to come and have good food, not because of a favor, but because they're entitled to that, right? This is their money, and this came out of like community, right? And so I definitely think that there's ways to do it. I hate reminding folks, but like there was a time when we did this work and nobody was getting paid and people were dying all around us. And they're still dying, right? People are disproportionately dying in certain communities. And so with that, like I always hold that and just reminding yourselves that we can make it happen, right? And I don't know exactly how right now, Mark and everyone else, but it can, right? I always tell people, and again, right, with everything that we've been seeing with the ACA, what we saw with Becerra in Texas and the actual chipping away at the ACA, like all these things, it's like, what would we do if the money was gone tomorrow? Don't answer that. But like, think about that, right? Because it is not outside of the realm of possibility. And I would love to think that a lot of us would continue doing this work, right? So thank you, Mark.
Elaine, it looks like Zachary has their hand up.
Zachary?
Thank you. Yeah, one question that came up that I don't know if it got answered last time was regarding interpretation services for our modeling.
Oh, you know what? Can I pause you there? Because yes. I don't want to be... Can we actually finish the agenda item? I'm so sorry, Kira. Someone should actually do approve or not approve.
Yeah, Zachary. Yeah.
Renewals as a slate, someone should second, and then we should take a consensus vote.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's related, but anyway...
Oh no, yeah. I want to come back to it like right after the vote.
Okay,
should we take a vote now?
Yeah, because we're going into recruitment type stuff, and I think it's important that we just hit this agenda item, hit it and quit it.
So how do you want to take just proof of hands? Approve?
Well, someone should move to approve the renewals, and okay. Someone should second.
Can I get somebody to approve the renewals?
I can move to approve the renewals.
All right. Is there a second?
I second that.
Any opposed? All right. They're all renewed. They will come. We're not gonna have to read those again at full council, Kara. We can just do as a slate. All right. I'm so sorry, Zachary, that I interrupted you. Please let's now give that full attention for sure.
No problem. So there was a question about interpretation services for our monolingual Spanish consumers. Has that been, I think, a major barrier to monolingual Spanish speakers being on our council? And so is that a service that we can provide?
There's multiple things that I can speak on. It has not, as far as I've seen, been a barrier, but then, you know, our outreach materials and all of our materials in general are in English. So it's hard to really assess whether it's been a barrier or not if you can't assess who is actually seeing those outreach materials. That said, we did at one point have a person who was monolingual Spanish on the council. He made sure to bring his partner who was able to translate for him. It didn't last long. It lasted perhaps a handful of months. It was, I think, overall a pretty hard experience for them both. It also was a hard experience for the council because it involved someone literally saying after every comment in the room what that was in Spanish. So it was, I think, challenging for the two individuals while also challenging for the folks who are around them, if that makes sense. I did ask Kira to look into perhaps more automatic translating things that might be free or low cost. I'm not sure what those are, but it's a modern world. You know, I think those might be available, and if they were fairly low cost, we could certainly invest in that. That said, you know, as I spoke to just a few moments ago, the council currently does not have anywhere near room in its budget to hire an interpreter, let alone a professional translator. Again, I'm not saying that these are things that we shouldn't do, but we don't currently have that bandwidth in the budget to do that. But we can, and Kira, as I mentioned, Kira is looking into this. You know, we can still look into what free and low cost services there might be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, we're at this time with technology where there probably is something that, whether that is a visual, you know, thing on a screen that translates, so that it's not like somebody repeating necessarily and interrupting kind of the flow of a meeting, but, or if there's an ear, you know, an ear thing.
That would be ideal, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. So yeah, just it was a question that came up, and I think it's just really important we look into that.
I actually wish there were something like that for free, or it can be offered to any kind of type of, like, I still consider us being a government body, you know, that would be offered for councils like that to happen. They do it in Washington when they have all these big time, what do you call it, nation meetings. So it's like, why can't we get something like that that would translate for everybody? That would be something.
I would be curious. Oh, sorry. I would be curious to know what Hersa would feel about it, because I you know, for example, when I've been to the grantee conference, I'm not going this year, and I've been to other government sponsored events or actual literal government events, there's no translation. There's no translation at all. I think if there's translation there, it's folks who have brought that with them in some ways. So yeah, I would be curious to know. Yeah. I'm not sure it really matters, because we could do what we want in San Francisco. And if there is funding that is attached to translation interpretation for the council that suddenly happens, it's not like we would not do it, whether or not HRSA recommends.
Okay. Any more questions? It's a good topic, you guys, because we do need to discuss these kind of things so we can get a more of a clearer picture on how we approach, no matter who wants to join, if it's bilingual or, you know, other kind of situation. But I like these kind of communications so that we can get ideas rolling and looking into more opportunities for everybody. Because as a community, we can't turn away anybody that wants to join. We shouldn't be. Hopefully we don't. I've never had that.
We can definitely turn people away. I mean, this is literally a city commission. It's a mayoral commission. We can and probably should turn folks away who are not appropriate for the council.
Well, yeah.
Make that clear.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why the fact that this is actually, I mean, we have to hold it in two things at once. On the one hand, we definitely want to have specific targeted recruitment. That's why I've done in services at like support groups that are serving Native American / Indigenous populations, or have done this or that. It's because we want to have specific preferably over representation, or at least representation of. So we can definitely be very specific in targeting, but also we are a city commission. That's why we don't do things like table at city fairs. So like, there's no city commission that's going to be tabling at a city fair or a pride or anything like that. Like that would be in some ways absurd. That we have specific folks we have specific duties that folks need to be able to accomplish, and we're looking for specific folks. Like we really do want to reflect the epidemic and overrepresent. So yeah, I just think like we are super open, while at the same time it's like we also have to be discriminating in a good way. Discriminating.
Yeah. Well, I like that one. That's better. Discriminating in a different kind of way. But yeah. You took the word wrong. That's why you're just so wonderful, Mark. That's why we have to keep you on going.
That's why we have done, we like in the past, particularly when I was on membership, we have done things like, okay, you know what? This person is incredible service provider, but we already have two people working for mental health. I don't think we So, you know, that's what I mean by discriminating. It's like we definitely want folks in. Right. We also want folks to help the work, you know, help reflect the community. Looks like Raina has their hand up.
Yeah, I only because you brought it up twice and I or three times and I like totally the it leaves my mind. But I just wanted to add to what you mentioned when you say that we need an over representation. I know that for some folks they're like, wait, what? And maybe not here, but I just want to say it on the record. When we say that, whether that is talking about biomedical interventions in public health or community engagement, like we mean it in terms of whether that's PrEP and HIV or again, councils or participatory processes, we actually do need a number that goes above and beyond like the threshold to get to equity, right? Otherwise, you would actually keep the same disparities across the board or make them worse. And so I just want to be really clear that it's about equity, right? If we keep it otherwise, then it would just be about this notion of equality, which has always and will continue to be based on this false understanding that we all have a similar or shared positionality across, you know, social determinants of health. And so, yeah, I just wanted to add on to that. And I love it when you say that, because that is very difficult for some people to verbalize. Like, we need more, right? The people who have less power need more. And they still aren't going to have the same amount of power as you, but you might be able to listen to them a little bit. And so thank you. That's all. I'm really done this time. I'm kidding. I'm never.
No, we need your voice to be heard all the time.
I really appreciate your affirmation, Elaine, always.
Welcome. Encouragement. Need everybody encouraged. We can do this. All right. Any more questions about anything? What's next on the agenda, folks?
We kind of skipped around a little bit, but if we're discussing council recruitment, there was one thing that I wanted to bring up. I did, mm-hmm. at the request of everyone, make a chart to kind of organize ourselves in terms of what organizations folks wanted to outreach to for flyering or sending our flyer to different organizations' newsletters. So I did ask folks to bring at least one organization that they would want to flyer at. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen right now.
Okay.
Let me see if it's, yep. All right. So far, can folks see this?
Yeah.
All right. So I included two examples in the first two rows. And so that was just for the online newsletter for both the SF AIDS Foundation and Instituto Familiar de la Raza. Mm-hmm. And then JP emailed me his organization because he wouldn't be able to make it today. And he suggested Larkin Street Youth Services. And he put himself down to email the executive director for that. And then we had Ron, who also volunteered the Black Brothers Esteem at the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. And so does anyone else have any, organizations that they want to volunteer?
I didn't send you mine, I'm sorry, but you can put San Francisco AIDS Foundation.
San Francisco AIDS Foundation?
I'm kidding, no.
I was like, well, it's,
I tried to be silly. I just because I saw it three times and I'm like, all three of those things. Black Brothers Esteem is the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. It is not its own project. so I was just gonna say I apologize for not sending mine. the file was too big. So I'm gonna mail it. No, I'm kidding. I don't have one right now, but I'm not joking, Mark. But I will.
No, I believe you.
I'm unemployed. No, I'm kidding.
You don't play.
but yeah, I really wanted to say thank you for creating this, and I will get that to you. Basically.
All right. Do we have anybody who wants to volunteer one?
Yeah, I was gonna suggest. I mean, the UCSF Alliance Health Project. I work there, and so I can definitely put the flyers where they're client facing, and the programs that we have. We're also located two blocks away from the LGBT center, and I can also bring them over there. That would be helpful.
That would.
Kara, Mark, is there a youth center that you guys know of in San Francisco that might be a possibility?
Well, we do have Larkin Street Youth Services, which is one of them. I can't think of off the top of my head of another one. Did someone have something?
Yeah, I have a ton, and I have a ton that are not affiliate, that are not like directly affiliated with the city, like all of the city funded orgs. Because again, I think that, as you all know, everyone has, you know, orgs all have their own interests as well as their representatives. And so there are a lot. Again, the ones that folks listed here are great, but then there are others who are more like on the fringes that are funded through like youth or development funds, et cetera, through the city. So do not be sad. I was in the foster care system from when I was 13 to 18. And so I've been very involved since then in a lot of these groups. Oh, but I mean, I guess one I'll say just right off the back, because I can't leave GIA off of this, I would absolutely say GSA Network. GSA Network, although they started off as like a, you know, organization to create safe schools, and it had no racial analysis or equity frameworks ever for the last 10 years, but even more so in the last 5 years, they really pushed to move beyond just kind of like, you know, safe schools for kids, but like all of these other things that kids, and in particular, like negatively racialized kids experience, including things around like negative health outcomes. So yeah, I would put GSA Network down for sure. They do more than safe schools. They're like really radical. It's kind of great. And G is great.
Cool. Yeah.
But I really have a list. I'm gonna blank. You're only gonna throw it in the trash.
Okay. Helen Zachary?
The two I was going to add are youth related. So one is Lyric, which is Lavender Youth Recreation and Information Center, I believe. Which I was a member of 25 years ago, I think. And then Dimensions Youth Clinic, which is at Castro Mission Health Center. Which we could definitely reach youth consumers there as well.
I wonder, Zachary,
Zachary,
could you also, I mean, I think Dimensions is great. I've never heard of them actually, but that's awesome. But I think that actual agency would be a good place too, because we're all, you know, we're looking for youth, absolutely. But just to get us to that 33%, there's a lot of folks who are positive, who may or may not have conflict of interest, who actually just go to that clinic.
At Castro Mission, you mean?
Yeah, totally.
See, this is what I'm talking about, kids. We're doing good.
We actually used to have a representative on the council from that clinic who would also make sure that he brought in consumers. That was a while back then.
Exactly, were you thinking of flyering more so?
Yeah, wow. So with this, are we thinking of like am I gonna go to these places and like flyer? Is that what we're deciding?
Well, we just want to figure out whether it's, I guess I shouldn't put method of flyering, but method of outreach, really.
Okay. Yeah, because if you feel it would be, you would accomplish more to actually just send an electronic flyer to a contact you have there, that's also.
Yeah, I think these are great questions. I also, Elaine, I keep saying kids. I love it when people call me that. I'm like, wait, what? I'm 34, but it's true, I'm a kid. You know, I think these are great questions, and I think that they can very much be informed by us and our experiences, but then, you know, by like actually like engaging these folks in different ways. I do want to say though, digital flyers via email, youth don't read those. And then flyering by hand also, that is not a good youth outreach method. Like there's, you know, really we're going to have to be going to social media when it comes to that group. And we can see that, which is why I wasn't kidding about the Instagram, but I'm not running it right now. I think Kira said she was really excited about that. I'm kidding. So I think that there's a lot of different methods to do that. And I don't think we're gonna figure it out right now. I think we are on a good track though to figure that out. But I do, I again, in a previous meeting, folks were like, you know, walking around is like a lot. I'll be honest, my right knee already hurts. And so, yeah, when we see this, like, just know that, like, there's a lot of different ways that we can reach out to folks that does not include physical exhaustion, because I don't like walking either, so.
All right, any other suggestions?
Well, how well are we that we can get connected to some of the community that has to do with American Indians, Pacific Islanders? I know we've been trying to get more involved in their outreaching. Has there any been any programs?
We're good when it comes to Pacific Islanders.
Okay. But yeah. How about, you know, like we were talking about earlier about American Indians.
Yes, that's really going to be a tough one. I mean, I'd like to hear from other folks on that one, because there has been a Native American COE that was disbanded. So maybe there's other places. I bet Raina has some suggestions.
Yeah. I'm pretty well connected with Bates, the Bay Area American Indian Two Spirits folks. And if we were to show up to one of their most recent annual powwows, you'd be amazed to know that people are here. They want to be engaged. It's more than anything, like, what are we doing to engage them? So I would put Bates down as well. Well, Bates is not a youth specific, but a lot of youth are involved. But so I guess don't put it down on this for this meeting. But Bates is very much connected and does a lot of that work for Indigenous.
Oh, but this isn't. I don't think this is just for youth though.
It's on outreach.
Yeah,
outreach for everybody. Yeah.
Okay, can we put the agenda? No, I'm kidding. Sorry, I was like, but yeah, I would put Bates down, and that's just one.
Bates.
No, BAAITS, Bay Area American Indian Two Spirit.
Because I know they're out there. I just, you know, I mean, I have a relative whose girlfriend is an American Indian, and she does a lot of powwows throughout the whole entire California. And she's mentioned a couple of places over here in the Bay Area. So it's like, maybe I'll reach out to her and see if she can recommend some places here that we don't know about that we should get involved with. But if you know places, Rena, that's great. I love that, because it would be great to reach out to them in any way we can. And I know if we start asking for them for involvement, they will jump into it. It makes them feel like, okay, we can do this all together, even as American Indians, now that they're coming out a little bit more and wanting to be more involved in a lot of communities besides just, you know, their own. So it'll be great to reach out to them the best way we can.
All right.
Any more ideas?
Helen, I want to suggest San Francisco Community Health Center, so SFCHC's Black Health Program.
Oh, okay.
And I'll email their case managers who have a specific caseload of folks who are Black African American or care about the issues for folks impacted. And I'll email the case managers at that program with our flyer.
Okay, great. That's fantastic. I like that. Cool. All right, kids, we're cooking. So anything else? What's next? If we're done here, and is there anything else next on the agenda? I like this, guys. I really do like that we're putting everything together.
I mean, I'll point out, too, that Kira and Kat are currently... Oh, it's an alliteration. Kira and Kat are currently... engaged in a needs assessment targeting Black/African-American, and I assume we'll be bringing flyers for the council as well. That has occasionally via either our COLAs or the needs assessment been a place where consumers of services have come to us. And for me, I don't want to get in my soapbox here. It really is, it's not just overrepresentation. It really is like we need numbers, because the fact of the matter is, community members will often come on and then off the council because life happens. And so the thing is, like, the more the merrier. The more we get in, not only are we doing those over representation goals, we're creating our own sort of like council safety net, so that just because we lost maybe a couple folks, we're not suddenly like, okay, I guess we have no voices from this community. Like, so that's just like, it's good to not just over-represent due to equity goals, but also because, like, when you're working with community members, you have to realize, like, they're not getting paid to do this work. And so that might mean that they come in and out, and we just have to understand that.
But I like what you said earlier. I mean, it's like, this is an organization what you're doing, and, you know, you may not get paid for it, which we do need to bring that out when we, you know, go out there. It's like, you're more doing this because you're putting, I think, because the way everything's going on right now with the world and the peanut that we're going against as presidential, I think people want to be more involved in having their voices be heard. And this would be a great opportunity now to get those people, because everybody's a little fire up. I've been wanting to control their community the best way they can to protect it. And this is a good way to protect this council and what we do as a body for Ryan White. So it I think a lot of people are going to want to be more involved in things like that. And it's having to, when we go out there, it's having to explain to that in that term that this would be that kind of way of presenting themselves, bringing, it's not about who gets what pay for that. It's about keeping programs intact and keep going. It's just the way we have to phrase it.
I mean, I also think it's, we can look at it as an opportunity for people to know more about why things happen and how things happen and how things are funded and why things are funded, so it can actually arm them as activists outside of the council. You know, the council makes it, HRSA makes it very clear, you cannot do lobbying. You are not necessarily activists, but that doesn't mean that you're not advocates, right? You're not advocate. You're all advocates for a strong system of care and for actually meeting the epidemic wherever it goes, with, in many ways, a social justice lens, meaning with a lens on who has the least amount of access to care, right? You can do all that without necessarily considering yourself like, okay, I'm doing this because I want to go into lobbying, or because I want to do this because I am a fiery activist. You're doing this because you're understanding the system and trying to impact it literally from within. So I think it's important that we, in our messaging, we also make that clear. This is a public policy body. So at times it does mean it's pretty darn dry, right? But you will actually get the learning and understanding about how these kinds of decisions get made, which should hopefully arm your work outside the council as an activist.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I mean, Mark, you've been here since day one, and I came in when my brother was
day one. I'm not Laura Thomas. Gosh.
Okay, I'm not Laura Thomas.
I'm a relatively youthful senior.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I mean, you've been here where all the strongest ones I'm not saying that we're not strong now, but when it was really more.
Oh, yeah, when we created everything. Centers of Excellence, for example.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, it's, I see when I was just sitting on the sidelines before I became a member, I was like, wow, this is exciting. I mean, because it's like the things that we do as an advisory board, really. So it's like, it's got to be pushed out there more of what we are that will get people involved that say, okay, well, this sounds really interesting. And I know we had some failures in the past, because like you said, people think of us that we're some kind of different kind of advocacy group, and it's like, no, that's different, you know. And it's just having to put out what this council's about and what it attacks with and what we can form to keep it intact into our programs and care in all over the United States, really.
Yeah, even beyond care, I have to say, like, my biggest enthusiasm is honestly, it's less on the care side, it's more on the prevention side. That's why, in some ways, just to be frank, I've been a little disappointed with the council since we merged, because that actually opened up our opportunities as far as being able to bring in a whole host of folks who may or may not be able to be positive, but they're impacted by HIV, STDs, Hep C, all of those different quote-unquote community members. Like, there's an opportunity for for this council to impact the prevention system of care, in particular because prevention is no longer just HIV prevention. The whole de-siloing has happened, and it's now really considered like you have to be looking at all these different things and how they right. how they care is a little bit more restricted, right? There's definitely some de-siloing happened, but care basically equals our center of excellence model plus a lot of support services. Since we're not even doing housing, right? That's what the city is taking care of. But there's right. so much opportunity that I feel like this council has not taken on the prevention side. Like we can mm-hmm. be in so many potential community members, and we used to have our hands tied. We used to have people who are like, okay, but I'm not positive. And it's just like, okay, well, you're not a consumer of care services then, unless like you have unless you have a loved one who is. Yeah. And that's like, you know, that's not a whole lot of folks, but when our hands are not tied with that. Like for a long time, we didn't have a single prevention consumer of service on the council until actually Zachary joined us. And so I just think that's a shame, and we can yeah. do better.
Exactly. No, I hear you. Sorry, now. I'm glad you said it.
I'm talking a lot this meeting. Maybe I'll take the next meeting off.
All right. Anything else we want discussion? What's next on the agenda?
I can just go over a demographic update. That's the last thing I think on the agenda. Right. It should be quick. Not too many changes. All right. So I'll start with our EPI demographic update. So we did have one change, which will be reflected on this one and the Aries one. And that's that we actually, talking about joining and leaving the council, we had one member who left. So now our number went from 29 to 28, and that's just reflected here. And then let me share the Aries one. And so, yeah, that brought our total membership down to 28. But this was somebody who was in a provider seat, per se. So it didn't affect our non-aligned consumers.
Okay. So we see here then the main ones are that 21%, which I just don't like. And then obviously Black African-American, 10% versus 17%. Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right, then I know what our jobs are is to hitting those targets more. But I like the outcome that what places we can target to do outreach. And then focus, you guys know the well kids. Focus that, you know, we're here to recruit. So in the kind of way we are kind of at reaching out, being that advocate to have people come in and join the council. So, you know, we're kind of just reaching out to those that really want. So you are kind mm-hmm. of like being that advocate right now for the council. So, but in a positive way. And that's something to look forward to really reach out to those that, you know, that want to be a part of something that they should be a part of and can keep going. So, you know, if that give you a little bit of motivation, I know it does sometimes with me when I, you know, look at the news and figure out what's going on, what's going to get cut. When I read half of the letters that are sent for me from Washington for HIV, it's like, oh, I don't like this kind of situation. So what do we do here in our community to change that? So we still need to keep focus on moving forward and getting those people involved that think like us and wants to see more of this improvement and keep the right way going and keep these programs ahead. So, you know, that's just something to look forward to. And remember, we need those people that's going to stand up with us and keep it going. So hopefully that will motivate everybody. I've grown with you guys and seen what you guys have done. And I've been so proud of San Francisco, Marin, and San Mateo. So, you know, let's just keep it going, guys. Kids, you guys are great. So if that's it for today, I guess, let's see, then we're done, right? So next meeting, I will promise I'll fill out my application and send it out to you guys again. All right, kids. So, if there's nothing else and there's nothing else to put on for next agenda, meeting is adjourned at 4:24. Hey guys, take care. Be safe
Thanks,
out there.
Thanks, everyone.
Erica, can you stay on?
Mark. Bye, everyone.
Mark, I needed you to stay on for one question. You guys are okay because you guys
I'm gonna talk to Kira and Kat. Did you have something you wanted me to call you about?
Well, you guys, because you guys
can
are
you
okay.
Push stop on the recording?
Yeah.
Yeah.